Stay tuned for Grace Matters, brought to you by First Presbyterian Church at the corner of Ocean and Monroe Streets in Jacksonville.
Well, on to more serious matters. And I do come to you with a dilemma of sorts. I have moved to Florida, and I've got to figure out who I'm going to root for. I've had some folks tell me it's all about the Gators, and others tell me, no, it's all about the Seminoles. I've got some folks who've even mentioned a Georgia Bulldog or two. And, of course, I bleed burnt orange. And so I'm open to suggestions. So maybe as we're eating lunch today and you can grab hold of me, you might make a case for your favorite team. I'll root for all of them. But I'm just going to tell you, I'm deep down, I'm a Longhorn, okay? But I'm willing to pull for some other teams. But I know this, we are on the same team. We are with the body of Christ. We are in the body of Christ together. Whoever you root for, God has brought us together. I look out at this sanctuary, I look out at this diverse crowd, and I thank the Lord He has made us one in Christ. As we come to the Word of God now, we're going to look at Psalm 130. If you've got your Bible open, I encourage you to read along with me. Our psalmist saying these words, "Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in His word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with Him is full redemption. He Himself will redeem Israel from all their sins." And from 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 13. "Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander." The word of the Lord. As I stand in this magnificent sanctuary, although I've got to tell you, you know, the Bible talks about the heavens being open, and I look up and I see not quite the heavens being open, but part of the sanctuary. Perhaps the Holy Spirit is about to come. I certainly hope so. But as I stand in this magnificent sanctuary of historic First Church, there's so many thoughts and emotions that are flooding my heart and my mind. Somebody asked me this morning, "How do you feel?" And quite honestly, I feel exhausted. With a mixture of excitement, we arrived late last night after a two-day drive from Texas, driving through some storms, and it's just been a whirlwind the last week or so. So I'm dealing with excitement and exhaustion, but let me tell you what else I'm dealing with right now, and that's gratitude. I am thankful. And so as I begin my message here, my first sermon from First Church, I want to express my gratitude to the Lord for calling the Luckies to this wonderful church family. Now, Jacksonville was not on my radar a year ago, not even 6 months ago. But God did something surprising. He introduced us to the city, to this church, and I'm thankful for it. God spoke to my heart about this congregation and this city. I believe God is up to something here at First Presbyterian. I believe God is up to something in the city of Jacksonville, and I want to be a part of it, along with you all. I want to thank God for the pastor search committee and for Ken Durkee, who took the helm and helped steer that committee. Thank you for all of your hard work. I want to thank the Lord for my predecessor, Dr. Robert Morris, for his amazing ministry here. First Presbyterian Church of Jacksonville has been blessed to have had such a wonderful man of God for your senior pastor, along with his wife, Virginia. By God's grace, Dr. Morris brought this church a mighty long way. And I thank the Lord for his 17 years of ministry here. So thank you, Dr. Morris, for being a faithful man of God and a true shepherd of the flock. Likewise, I am grateful to Pastor Sonny for holding down the fort here and for serving you with imagination and creativity and most of all, love. I look forward to working with Pastor Sonny, with the staff, with you, the congregation. I believe God is up to something here, and I am confidently expectant that the Lord has some great things planned for this church and community. And that leads to the scripture passage we just looked at from 1 Peter. Now, in that passage, Peter wrote nearly 2,000 years ago, Christians were in a precarious position. They suffered for their faith because they were living for Christ in a pagan setting. The Apostle Peter reminded them that they were aliens and strangers in the world, and he urged them to endure and to live exemplary lives in the midst of ungodliness. And that's a word we need to hear in America in the 21st century. That's a word for Jacksonville in our time. The city in which we live, this region, is far from God-honoring. And God is calling us to be those aliens, those strangers, who will endure and who will live godly lives in the midst of an ungodly world. Peter said to the church long ago, "Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good?" The word Peter uses for eager is the word from which we get zealous or zeal. Peter talked about the early Christians being zealous for good works. When I first learned about this church months ago, one of the things that impressed me about you all is the many good works you are doing in the name of Christ. And I look forward to experiencing Sulzbacher Mission and Prisoners of Christ Ministry and DESC and some of these other great ministries that this church is a vital part of. This church is zealous for good works. And Christians, may we always have zeal to serve the Lord and people. Now, I know there are a lot of folks who are zealous for many different causes. I've met some of you football fanatics, and it's all right to be zealous for some football. It's all right to be zealous for some politics. But I believe one of the pressing needs in our time is for much more zeal in the body of Christ. I'm convinced that we need some folks who are fired up, who are living Christ-centered, Spirit-filled, mission-minded, kingdom-advancing lives, and who are zealous to serve the Lord. Jesus said, "Zeal for my Father's house has consumed me." We can use much more zeal, and it's okay for Presbyterians to be zealous for the Lord. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." My brother and sister in Christ, are you zealous? Are you eager to do good works in the name of the Lord? We are God's masterpiece. That person sitting next to you or behind you or in front of you is a work of art. And yes, that includes your spouse. You might want to remind them, "Honey, you are a masterpiece. The Bible says so." And we together are works of art. And God has saved us to serve. We are not saved by serving. We are saved to serve. And so may we be zealous for the good works, as Peter spoke to the Christians long ago. Peter goes on to say that those who suffer for doing right are blessed. The idea is highly privileged. Do you know that you are highly privileged? When people persecute you, when people treat you wrongly as a Christian, you are highly privileged and blessed by the Lord when you suffer for doing right. And then the Apostle Peter urged the early Christians to revere or set apart in their hearts Christ as Lord. May I ask you this morning, is Christ the Lord of your heart? Is Christ the Lord of your life? Is He the Lord of your marriage? Is He the Lord of your work? Is He the Lord of your recreation? Have you set apart Christ as Lord in your heart and in your life? And it is then that Peter gives yet another exhortation when he says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the reason why you have hope. And I'm going to share with you some reasons why you can have hope. The word Peter uses for give answer and reason is apologian, which means defense. Be ready to give a defense for the hope you have. Now let me be perfectly clear. In the Bible, when the Bible uses the word hope, it does not mean wishful thinking. Two different things. Many people think that hope and wishful thinking are the same. Many of you here hope that the Gators are going to win a national championship this year. You're hoping it'll happen. It might not, but you're hopeful that it will. Some of you are hoping that the Bulldogs or the Seminoles or even the Hurricanes are going to win a championship. It may not, but you're wishing and hoping that it will. That is not what the Bible means by hope. The Bible uses hope in the sense of confident expectation. I have confident expectation that God is up to something in this community. I don't just have wishful thinking about it. I am confidently expectant the Lord is up to something in this church and in this city. Hope in the Bible is not wishful thinking. It is confident expectation. And so in a world of much trouble and danger, and in an ungodly world, we can have confident expectation that God will do all that He has said He will do. And now here comes the defense. Five reasons why you can have hope as a Christian. I know I have hope as a Christian, first of all, because Christ is risen. Jesus Christ is alive. He's not dead. His bones are not in a Middle Eastern tomb. Our Lord was crucified. He has risen from the dead. He is alive. And I know this is not Easter, but every Sunday, every day should be Easter for us in Christ, because Jesus Christ is risen. He's alive in my life and yours and in the life of this church. And if the risen Christ and the knowledge and the hope you have in Him does not bring joy to your life and a spring to your step and a smile to your face and thaw out a few of the frozen chosen, I don't know what will. But Jesus Christ is risen. And because He is risen, we have confident expectation. A wise old Christian named Thomas Watson said long ago, the Christian is more certain to rise out of their grave than out of their bed. I have no assurance I will get out of my bed tomorrow morning. You don't either. But we have assurance we will rise from our graves because Christ is risen. He is the first fruits. He's gone on to heaven. And where the head goes, the body must follow. We are going to follow Jesus. And so we have hope because Christ is risen. Now, a second reason or defense for the hope that we have as Christians is this. Christ is Lord. He is Lord. He is ruler. He is master. He is our benevolent ruler. And I have great confident expectation because Christ is Lord. One of the most amazing verses for me in the Bible is Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. And there we are told that Jesus Christ is sustaining all things by His powerful word. Did you catch that? Jesus is sustaining you. He is sustaining this world, every molecule, every atom, every breath that you take, everything in heaven and on earth, everything in this church and in every church, everything in this created universe is under the control and the lordship of Christ. From the atom to the elephant, He is Lord of all. And I have hope as a Christian because Jesus Christ is Lord. And Peter spoke of the lordship of Christ in our passage. Now, when I accepted the call to serve as your senior pastor, I did not do so begrudgingly. I did so because I have confident expectation that the Lord of the church is up to something here and in this city. And I have great hope in that. A third reason for the hope we have as Christians is this. Christ is here. Do you know Christ is here in this sanctuary? He is closer to you than the person sitting next to you at this moment. Jesus Christ, who walks amidst the lampstands, as John says in Revelation, He walks amidst the churches. Jesus is here. He's not merely up there, way beyond the blue. He is here and He is present. When I graduated seminary some years ago, I had to take some examinations. And one of the questions on the examination was this: where is Jesus Christ and what is He doing right now? And the answer, of course, is Jesus is not only at the right hand of the Father, He is here in my life and in the lives of His people. And because He is here in me, in you, in our midst, we have great hope, confident expectation, because the living Lord is here. Now, I've been accused of being a closet Baptist. I'm a Presbyterian by choice. I affirm Reformed theology. I don't know, Sonny, if we sing the great hymn in this congregation, He Lives, but I like the words of the hymn. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. And I have hope, and you have hope, because Christ is here and He lives inside of you. Well, the fourth reason for the hope we have as Christians: not only is He here, yes, He's there. Where? He's at the right hand of God the Father. And do you know what He's doing at this moment? The Bible says in Hebrews 7:25 that He is interceding for His people. Jesus is talking to the Father on your behalf and mine. He is praying for us. I don't know what He's saying about you, but I suspect at times He's saying, Scott's getting a little sleepy. We better wake him up. Jesus is praying. He is interceding for His people. And so be encouraged, for the Lord is speaking to the Father on your behalf. He prays for those for whom He died. And I want to say loudly and clearly this morning, no matter who you are or what you are going through in your life or about to go through, there is hope. The storms of life will come and go, but the Lord is ever present. You might be in poor health. You might be discouraged today. You might be going through a difficult season in your life. You might be about to enter one of those seasons. But you can have confident expectation because Christ is there at the right hand of the Father, and He's praying for you. He is here. He is there. He is Lord. He is risen. And the fifth reason I have hope and you have hope as a Christian is this. Guess what? Christ is coming again. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. It could be 100 years or more from now. But Christ is coming again. He's coming personally. He's coming visibly. And He's coming bodily. And He is going to vanquish His foes. He's going to right all wrongs. He's going to come forth on a war horse, not as a babe in a manger, but as the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And there's a new heaven and a new earth on its way. And my brothers and sisters in Christ, we can have hope in this sin-fallen world because Christ is coming again. Someday, we will be free from this sinful world. Someday, we will be free from these bodies that are prone to sickness and aches and pains. And every time I get up the wrong way, I feel it. And I'm sure glad I'm not taking this body through all eternity. I don't know about you. The Bible says we're getting resurrection bodies. We're getting something far better than what we now have because Christ is coming again. And so be encouraged today. Now, Peter says in his word or in the word to the early Christians to not only always be prepared to give reason for your hope, but he says, do it with gentleness. Do it with respect. Don't be an obnoxious Christian. You ever met one of those? Yeah. Don't be like one of those, Peter says. Be gentle. Be respectful. And so as we leave our text here, and let me add one other thing. I love what Psalm 130 said. Our psalmist said he hoped in the Lord and he hoped in the word of the Lord. Oh, what a great place to put your hope in God's word and in the God of this word. The Bible is full of hope, confident expectation. So as we leave our text this morning, and as I wrap up my first sermon here at First Church, I pray that we will all determine to be eager, even zealous, for good works, knowing that we are highly favored, even if we suffer, for doing good in the name of Christ. Let's determine to live our lives of faith and not fear, full of faith rather than full of fear. And finally, let us determine to set Christ apart in our hearts as Lord, as we are always ready and standing by to give a reason, a defense for the hope that we have. I'm not merely thinking wishfully. I am confidently expectant because Christ is risen, Christ is Lord, Christ is here, Christ is there, and Christ is coming again. May God bless you as you live as a hope-filled saint. And may God bless First Presbyterian Church of Jacksonville as with great hope and confident expectation, we follow the Lord wherever He leads us today, tomorrow, and in all the tomorrows that are to come. Would you say amen? Let us pray to the Lord. Father, we are a hope-filled people. And whoever we are and whatever we are going through in life, oh God, may we be overflowing with hope that comes only from You. And Lord, may we never ever forget that Christ is risen, that Christ is Lord, that He is here, that He is there, and that, Lord, You are coming again in great glory. And so may we live out our lives, and may we serve others with great, great hope. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
What does that look like?
A bull.
Yeah, well, it's a longhorn, and that's from Texas. And I really like longhorns. Who wants to hold on to that for me? Okay, you hold my longhorn for me. Now, look what else I brought. Since I don't live in Texas anymore, I live where? In Florida.
Yeah, Florida.
What? I know. And what is that? Y'all know what that is?
Orange.
That's an orange. I love oranges. So I'm glad I'm living in Florida. Who wants to hold my orange? You want to hold that young fella? Okay.
Oh, my God.
Now I want to ask you all, what do you love?
Well, I watched the Stars football game yesterday, and very likely I like.
You like football?
Uh-huh.
You love football? Well, I do too. Girls, what do you all like? What do you love? You love Jesus? That is the best answer of all. And I just happen to have in this bag with me a cross. And that cross reminds us of who?
Jesus,
that's a cross I wear. I love my Longhorns. I love oranges. But do you know who I love most of all? I love Jesus. I love his cross. You love Jesus and God too? Yeah, I know you do. And I'm going to have to learn to like some other things now that I live here in Jacksonville. I'm going to have to learn to love the Jaguars. And Pastor Sonny says the team I need to root for are the Hurricanes. Is that right? And I don't know about that. But I'll tell you what. Whether I root for the Gators or the Seminoles or the Hurricanes or the Longhorns, I'll tell you what, who I love most of all. Who do we love most of all, sweetheart? We love Jesus.
And God.
Yes, Jesus is God. That's right. So I want you to bow your heads. Would you close your eyes and fold your hands with me right now? And let's pray out loud together. Would you pray with me these words? Dear God, I love many things. I love my food. I love my family. I love my church. But most of all, I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, who wants to keep the orange? You going to keep that orange and share with your sisters? You can have that orange.
I don't like Longhorns that much.
You don't like Longhorns that much? Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Who really likes Longhorns? Who would like a? I've got lots of these. Will anybody want one? Nobody wants my Longhorn? Well, doggone it. All right. Well, y'all can go sit down, man. Go find your seat. God bless you. We love you very much. Jesus loves you. And I hope you love Jesus more than anything or anyone else, okay? All right. Bye, Gabriel.
You have been listening to Grace Matters, brought to you by First Presbyterian Church at the corner of Ocean and Monroe Streets in Jacksonville.